about. You gotta put it in perspective.
Ballers and ballerettes, fasten your seatbelts. The perfect party begins.
Clink.
Now.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
And one day, you'll be up there performing on Star Search, and you'll get 3¾ stars, and you'll win, and Sinbad will be the one frowning that day, and we'll all be here on your side, laughing for you.
You got rid of your TV a long time ago, huh?
No, I just moved to a place without any electricity.
Well, Milana, have fun tonight.
You're doing a great job. I don't care what Kevin or Bean say about you. I just want you to know that you came here and you did your job today. You asked me 2 questions.
I mean, you've really put a big investment in our country. We appreciate it very much, Tim Apple.
And now, this is London Court. Here is a news flash. The German radio has just announced that Hitler is dead.
Our feature presentation.
Timely.
Okay. Maybe we should pre-listen to those.
Is that from the year? That like did you guys like run it. That the year that he...
Yeah, we were here when it happened.
Sure. Was your first year?
Oh, no. We were here 10 years by then. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was a little surprising. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Beach. It's Tuesday morning, the 7th of May. Welcome back, Jensen. Welcome back, Allie.
Hi.
Thanks.
Happy to have you both.
Happy to be here.
Talked to Nate Bergazzi yesterday. And I don't know if you guys have ever known anybody like this, but dude's dad was a clown.
Like a real clown?
Yes.
Yeah.
Really?
Like, and I said, on the side? He's like, nope, full-time clown.
Full-time.
Then he transitioned from clown into magician.
Oh.
Yeah. And he's worked with his dad before.
Yes. Yes. He told the story. We're going to play some highlights coming in the 6 o'clock hour, but he did tell the story of, like, popping out of a box where there was a woman that got in. It was, like, part of the magic trick. Mm. And then he was going to get out and do 5 minutes of stand-up. And no one knew who he was, and they wanted magic, and they didn't want comedy, and it was a disaster.
Wow. Is that your nightmare, Kevin, having any family member that's a magician?
Yeah, of course. Well, no, if it's my brothers, I can just demolish them.
You can ruin them.
Yes.
Okay.
But Dad?
Do they turn it off? Do magicians turn it off?
I have no way of knowing that.
Right?
Do they become a mere mortal at Thanksgiving? Do you know what I mean?
No,
I feel
see,
Thanksgiving, they're like grabbing coins behind your ear. Yeah, for sure.
Even that day, they're making food disappear or whatever, however it works.
Sure.
I don't know. It would drive me crazy.
Stuffing? More like nothing. Gone.
Dork.
That would be awesome. He also said that his dad ruined magic for him because he keeps trying stuff at home.
Right.
Oh, so he gets to see how it all goes.
Yes, and then he tries to help him make it work.
Oh, that's
so he's
no
like,
fun.
I can't even enjoy magic anymore.
Oh, man.
But yeah, he used to come to his birthday parties and everything.
As a magician? He would
yes.
do magic. Oh, boy.
Oh, that's gotta...
As a clown magician.
Right.
So we need to talk to Stan the Armenian Comedian.
Yeah.
He's the only person I know that is a clown and a magician.
Mm. Eric Stone Street was a clown growing
up. He
was,
wasn't he?
Yeah, sure was.
What a weird group of people that must be.
The clown, like the...
The clown posse.
Community?
Some would say.
Whoop, whoop. I do know that comedians June Raphael and Casey Wilson met in Circus College.
No.
They were like clown, like basically clown college.
Is that what Steve-O went to?
Yeah.
Clown college?
That is what Steve-O went to. And look what it did for him.
Look at that.
He's doing great. It took a while.
We need
more of a long term graduate
weird
school.
Yeah, but
I'm not sure going to
now.
Clown school made him great.
But
however it works,
wow.
We may need to talk to people in the clown community
for sure.
Do you think there are enough of them?
I feel like we did years ago.
Okay.
Like right when I first started, I remember we took phone calls from clowns, and it was weird. It was definitely weird, and I loved it so much.
I believe we may have to do that.
Yeah,
it doesn't help them. The movie It.
No,
no, of course not.
No.
When it wasn't, it was a TV movie with John Ritter for a year. And then after a while, people forgot that there was that.
Yeah.
And then it came back with a fury.
Yeah.
And now clowns are scary again. And then remember, those years the clowns were just walking through forests.
But they weren't. It wound up being a total hoax.
That was the best. And I would have done that as well.
Come on. Just live with the magic.
Okay, sorry. Sorry.
Jesus.
Why do you hate the magic?
I'm sorry to bring facts.
We're on radio,
into you.
Man.
Okay.
Do you think Orson Welles really had aliens coming down in War of the Worlds?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, Okay, never mind.
Yeah, yeah, I thought we were back to, yes.
Oh, yeah, okay, good.
All right, we're going to take calls from the clown community. I hope
Love
they're out there.
It.
I have
Love
no idea,
it.
Of no way of knowing. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Oh, are you done? I was hoping you'd talk more about yourself.
Okay, I'll be a clown. That's fine. I would love that.
Oh,
right?
Hold on.
Wait, you weren't.
No, I'm thinking maybe it would be awesome if a clown called did call and you got to do a day there.
I mean,
Kevin goes to clown school.
Woo-hoo!
Kevin, what if you go?
This has gone like, quite
kind
south
of as a
quite
joke,
quickly.
Like
yes?
I'll do it for the story.
Right.
And you find your passion. That is your true love.
And I call
love.
You guys and I go, look.
Yeah.
And that's it. I go.
But none of us speak honk, so we're like, yeah. We don't know what he
what
said.
Just happened?
I think it's positive.
Kevin, what if?
You should I mean, do it, man.
I mean, it's not something that I've always wanted to do because I do look down on clowns, mm-hmm. but maybe it's time to turn that perception
or
around.
Or are you down with the clown?
Right?
Maybe you looked down on clowns for so many years because you were so afraid of...
I was pushing it
yeah.
down inside
yeah.
me?
You're like, let All me right. just keep this down so nobody will know how much I want to be a clown.
You were a closeted clown.
I yeah. feel like a lot of people know that I could very easily go from this to clown. I don't yeah. feel like that's yeah. a big transition. Like, I'm not hiding it well.
But if it's your love, and all of a sudden you can juggle, you can do it all. You can,
I can
ride a
juggle.
Unicycle.
That I can do.
What about unicycles?
I've never tried it.
All right.
So I'm in.
What if you can? What if you get on a unicycle and you're just like, all
like
around?
Second nature. I'm doing tricks
yes.
and stuff.
Yes.
All right. I like
Think
where this
it.
Is going.
Think
I
about
love it.
It.
Think about it. On the show today, we have Be Real.
Be Real.
The host of Bon Appetit, mm-hmm. which is a great TV show. We have the Zero Club. We got to figure out what to do with Zero Club.
I mean.
Because the president went down in flames.
Yeah.
And so then what happens?
Very upset, Kevin.
What do you think? Scientific survey? What do you think our options are here?
I feel like we need to hear from Zero Club members. I feel like they're the ones that need to vote.
The club will now overrule the president.
Yeah. It can't just be, you know, people willy-nilly that have nothing invested.
Good point.
It's people whose heart was broken, Kevin.
The people whose heart was broken are the ones that I made fun of for running out of gas and denied them entry into this.
Exactly.
This is a modern-day Jared Fogle Subway situation.
Very similar, Kevin.
Where now
I wish it wasn't.
Kevin is Jared Fogle.
You are Jared Fogle, and we have to
sure
decide
wish
if
it
you're
wasn't.
Still the face of the company.
strange Instagram accounts you follow?
Huh?
We found out just before the weekend that Allie follows Doors.
Well, I mean, technically, yes. But the Door account I was following was letting me down. So then I just followed a hashtag of Doors of Instagram, and it opened up a whole new world of Doors.
Right?
Great Doors.
You need to join me in clown school. I'm telling you right now, if you're following Doors on Instagram.
And Cabins.
And Cabins as well. So that's coming up this morning. And David Cross joins us in
yeah,
studio.
Yeah, that's going to be good.
Love him so much. So that's coming up this morning. We'll take a break. We will come back with 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:54. Alan McKay is here. What's happening?
What's happening, you guys? I'm sure you all talked about the Game of Thrones mishap on Sunday night's episode.
The Starbucks cup?
Yes. I don't know if you heard about this, Jensen, but a huge to-do for about 2 seconds in Sunday's The Last of the Starks. A takeout coffee cup appeared on a table in front of Daenerys Targaryen. That was around the 1740 mark, but based on the size and shape, many fans assumed it was a Starbucks cup, and the hashtag Starkbucks trended on Twitter after the episode. Well, in an email to Variety, Game of Thrones art director Hauk Richter said it's not uncommon for items to end up misplaced on set and then go unnoticed and appear in the final cuts of movies and TV shows. He said the coffee cup error has been so blown out of proportion because it has not happened with Thrones so far.
That's not a normal thing.
No, I'm thinking maybe it's not so normal, sir.
Yeah, the one famous one is that in Ben-Hur, there's a soldier wearing a wristwatch, right? That was the one that for years was sort of like the...
Because wristwatch didn't...
Well, no.
They
exist then?
No.
No.
I should have asked Ruben, but I'm sorry. My apologies.
And so this will become the new kind of like...
Yeah.
Standard for that joke.
Absolutely.
It's a terrible look. They spent 55 days filming one war scene.
Right.
And then you just have a coffee cup on
a
table.
It's a terrible explanation, too.
Yeah.
That happens to everybody.
Yeah. I mean, I think he's trying to save his job.
Yeah. Well, HBO wound up, they're like, well, now we have to make a statement. And they said, the latte that appeared in the episode was a mistake. Daenerys had ordered an herbal tea. which I thought, at least HBO can make fun of
all right, that's funny.
I don't hate it. I don't hate it, HBO.
I mean, it really isn't that big a deal if you just come out and go, yeah, well, we screwed up. Oops, no one cares.
We've been a little busy.
Everyone's
right?
going to feel so stupid when the show ends with a Starbucks. Like they just walked into one.
They build the first one?
Yeah.
That could be the ending, guys.
What if we just spoiled it?
Ooh. Or Bob Newhart wakes up and he's like, you won't believe what I just did.
And then reaches for a Starbucks.
Yes.
Drinks.
Oh, it all comes together. I'm sure you heard yesterday that Meghan Markle was in labor. Well, there is a new royal baby, you guys. I'm very excited. Prince Harry gushed about his newborn son hours after Meghan Markle had delivered their first child. So exciting. However,
the royal family is balls.
Still no name. But Daily Express said Meghan Markle and Prince Harry are to choose an unusual name for the baby that unifies the U.S. and the U.K.
You think they're trying to do too much with a baby name?
Probably, but some of the responses to that tweet were hysterical. Like, oh, welcome to the world, Cambridge Analytica. One of my favorites was, oh, I love baby skip intro. But my friend Josh probably did the best one. He said, welcome to the world, young F-off Pierce Morgan. Because what else could unite America and then U.S. other than a F-you to... Pierce Morgan.
Is this normal to not have a baby name when he's born?
I don't know. I'm not sure about.
I read one story
stuff.
Where it was like they were thinking 3 years down the road, and I was like, that's absurd. And I think that was a one-off. Yeah. It was just a weird story where they hadn't settled on a name, and 3 years down the road, they finally picked one.
Oh, just call him Baby.
Probably.
Right.
But don't you have the name ready to go when that baby's born?
You would think. Maybe they're waiting to see, you know, the lines on it, see who can win the most. I don't know. It's all very
I have a bunch of money down on Anferny.
Anferny.
Oh, that would be a coup.
It seems like a slam dunk.
Yeah. I'm ready.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
I will tell you, though, naming a baby, not easy.
Not easy.
Not easy.
No.
Well, Amy Schumer and her husband announced the birth of their baby boy. Their son came Sunday, and their announcement was 10:55 p.m. last night. Our royal baby was born. And they have yet to announce the baby's name. So who knows? Maybe names are just harder than we all thought. Except for Jensen.
Mm-hmm. I mean, not really.
Have you narrowed it down?
Yeah. I think we've got it.
You have it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Unless something comes along and knocks it off, you're
set. Well, I did have a small fear that the royal family announces their baby name and it's the one we're thinking of.
I mean, that would be awesome.
Really? Then you would for real?
No, I don't think it's
possible. Then you would have to change.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right?
Absolutely. Or like a serial killer right before.
Oh, that's tough. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
That could always happen, though, dude.
Yeah.
That's why.
Look at all the bad Kevins in the world.
My parents were like, right? We can't name him Bundy. I'm like, are you sure?
You should go for it.
Go for it. Nothing bad will happen. It's fine. Ooh. You guys, Adele.
Right.
How close are we in everything? Like, we're pretty much the same person.
You and Adele, you mean?
She rented out the Beverly house where parts of The Godfather were filmed to celebrate her 31st birthday on Sunday. She loves The Godfather just like me.
You don't.
Yeah.
You just saw it.
You just saw one.
Right.
Of them.
And I...
You didn't see two or three.
And I thought it was perfectly fine.
Okay.
Yeah. So, somebody posted a picture that has since been removed. That person is Leonardo DiCaprio's stepfather, David Ward.
What is going on?
This whole story is so weird, but he posted a picture from the party with the caption, celebrated Adele's 31st at the most amazing Gatsby-esque and lavish gig last night. All cell phones were handed in by guests and no paparazzi present. Well, probably because they didn't want someone talking about it, Leonardo DiCaprio's stepfather, David Ward.
Yeah.
Very odd, though. Like,
what's going on?
Should we know who David Ward is? I feel like...
I don't.
Okay. Well, post, like I said, has been removed. And according to Architectural Digest, the mansion, once home to newspaper magnate William Randolph Hearst, is where JFK and Jackie Kennedy spent their honeymoon. And not only was it in The Godfather, but prominently featured... in the Whitney Houston movie, The Bodyguard. I mean, this place has it all.
Wow.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm looking up David Ward. This is a weird dude.
Oh.
Should we know him?
No, he like kind of travels around the world.
Does he get money from his son, from Leonardo?
No.
Or however you say his name?
You nailed it again. You just
I literally just can't say
He's like a kind of like an international playboy.
Oh.
What?
Yeah.
All right. I got some Googling to do. Not a lot of birthdays today. From SNL, A.D. Bryant and actor Brecken Meyer.
I'm not positive if you guys know or not, but we're all going to die.
Okay.
Yes. We're all going to die.
Yeah.
For measles. It's going to happen.
Oh. I don't want to die from measles.
But I mean, it's a thing. And it's a thing in Southern California. There's two parts in the country that are bad. One is New York. And one is California.
Okay.
Here's some of the reports, some of them going back to last week, so they might be a tiny bit old.
We've got some big news this morning. We're going to begin with these dramatic new developments in the nationwide measles outbreak. There are hundreds of students and staff at two major Southern California universities that are under quarantine this morning. Can you imagine if you were one of those people? 71 students, 127 staff members at California State University, Los Angeles, who have been exposed in a campus library are under quarantine.
That many people are in a library?
Nerds, right? He's with me.
And at UCLA, 76 students and 6 faculty members are still at risk after a contagious student attended classes. Carter Evans is at the UCLA campus with the concern behind the extraordinary precautions. Carter, good morning.
Officials at UCLA say a student contagious with measles attended classes for 3 days earlier this month, potentially putting hundreds at risk.
That's the thing. You don't know you're sick. You can have it for like 3 days before you get any symptoms.
Oof. And it can sit around for 2 hours.
Yes.
At any, like if I just show up to, say, my dry cleaners, pick up my clothes, it's sitting in
still
that dry cleaners for 2 hours.
It's just waiting for you.
The university has identified dozens who may have been exposed. They're being quarantined until medical records can prove their immunity.
You need to stay at a specified location, and you need to stay there until such time that you are deemed as not likely to come down with the disease.
All right, how long can that be?
That could be anywhere from 24 hours to 7 days.
Oh, man.
I have to stay in a library for 7 days? That's my idea of hell.
That's you're homeless. Yeah.
Earlier this month, someone with measles entered a library at Cal State LA. Health officials have contacted some 200 staff and students who work there.
Following locations have been identified as places where the public may have been exposed. LAX's Tom Bradley International Terminal.
Check.
UCLA's Franz and Volter Hall.
Okay.
Cal State LA's main library.
All right.
The El Pollo Loco on Verdugo Boulevard.
That's a pretty specific
one. It's not good advertising.
La Cunada Flint Ridge and El Sauce Tacos in Glendale. Common symptoms include fever, cough, runny nose, red eyes, and a rash. So what can you do? Experts say it starts with getting fully vaccinated. That includes 2 doses of the measles immunization.
So I texted my mom last night and I said, hey, did I get the shots that you need for the measles? And she's ghosting me so far.
Oh, man.
She said new phone, who did?
No, nothing. She's just ghosting me.
Not cool.
So do you think she's like, he found out?
I'm sure back then it was so, like, you had to have it.
Like
in the early
1900s?
Like into elementary school.
Oh,
like you got your shots when you were like a year old or whatever. Then you got shots again when you were like 4 or 5.
I assume.
You had to have
none
2 rounds
remember,
of it.
Right?
But I feel like back then you had to.
You sort of had to just to be in school?
Yeah.
Yeah, because it was the strongest you could get back then. Because it was like basically...
It was measles, rubella, and one other one.
Yeah, well, he also... I mean, Kevin survived the plague.
Right?
That's true.
So
that's
if he can
true.
Get through that...
Thank you.
Yeah.
The anti-vaccination people are behind this somewhat in that if you haven't had your vaccinations and you go overseas, this is the big thing they're saying now. You go to... A girl went to Vietnam and it's a huge thing in Vietnam. So then she brought it back and she was one of the people that... may have made, you know, hundreds of people sick.
Huh.
So I find this funny that the anti-vaccination people have latched on to an episode of The Brady Bunch.
Hmm.
Do you remember this episode? All the kids get measles.
Yes.
Okay.
I do remember that.
Listen to this.
The way they all became the Brady Bunch.
A classic episode of The Brady Bunch is at the center of the nationwide furor over the measles vaccine.
Is it at the center of the nationwide furor?
Why so soon?
Is it?
What are you doing home from school?
They sent me home. Measles.
In the episode, first broadcast in 1969, all 6 of the Brady kids come down with the measles, and it's no big deal.
That's the thing that everybody's pointing to, is like, it didn't seem bad for them.
What?
Yes.
Oh, my
The anti-vaccination
God.
People are going, look at that show in the 60s
right?
even.
Jan was cool with it.
They were all happy. They had a little red face and a few splotches, but they got out of school
and
for 3 days.
What's wrong with drinking every day? Check out Cheers. Everyone looks happy on that show.
A slight temperature, a lot of dots, and a great big smile.
A great big smile.
No school for a few days.
No.
Boy, this is the life, isn't it?
Yeah. If you have to get sick, you sure can't beat the measles.
Now, I'm not positive that we want to use this as our standard.
Oh, jeez.
Anti-vaccination activists have latched on to the 50-year-old episode to show that measles is nothing to worry about.
Oh, my God.
This show aired in 1969.
Unbelievable.
And these guys are going, look, the kids in the house, they all had it and they were having a great time.
If you're going by Brady Bunch logic, then we should all be scared to be locked in a refrigerator with meat.
I mean, that's true as well.
Because that was a scary thing on that mm-hmm. show.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's probably in our future.
Yes.
Once we kill off the measles.
And shots aren't necessary. Lloyd Schwartz, son of the show's creator, Sherwood Schwartz, is also speaking out today.
Okay, so he says, my dad used to be pre-med. There's no way we would have made this episode if we thought it was going to be taken out of context like this. But there was an anti-vaccinating guy who said, look, it's just... It's in that show. It's in movies throughout history. You can just... And he used entertainment as his science.
It's science.
Yeah.
That was his basis for saying don't get vaccinated.
Here's the thing, though. On the Brady Bunch, they also said, Mom always said not to play ball in the house.
Right.
And that holds up. Right?
That's true.
Because of the vase, and then you put it back together, then water comes out.
So you're saying it is in the
center?
No, 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. If you would like to join us on the beach in Dana Point, we have the Weenie Roast Luau and Beach Party that's happening June 8th with the Lumineers and 311 and Silver Sun Pickups, the Revivalist, a whole lot more. Tickets go on sale at frontgate.com, or you can go to krock.com for all of the details on that. Alan McKay is here. What's happening?
You guys, Woodstock's a big old mess.
Is it canceled? Is it not canceled?
Oh, we don't know. So Michael Lang, the one who spearheaded Woodstock back in 1969, who's now producing Woodstock 50, claims that the festival's primary investment company, Dentsu, was trying to sabotage the revival from the beginning.
Why?
According to a letter Lang wrote to Dentsu, he said he had concerns from the start about such a large corporation being linked to Woodstock and claims that it blocked the ticket on sale in late April, even though the festival had obtained all the necessary permits. He says the company also began interfering with the talent lineup, going so far as to tell the bands that if they backed out, Dentsu would help them land a gig playing the Summer Olympics in 2020 instead. And then he claimed his worst fears were confirmed when Dentsu decided to pull the plug on Woodstock 50 and notified the media that it was canceled without any legal right.
Canceled.
He now says all he needs is $30 million to stage the three-day concert.
Oh, that's it?
Oh. He should have just said that from the start.
Right.
And he needs to secure that by Friday. So things are looking pretty good for Woodstock is what I'm saying.
Honestly, why don't they just say it's off?
You would think.
It's off.
If this other company, the investment company, was trying to sabotage it from the beginning, mm-hmm. first of all, why?
Yeah, seems dumb.
For the Summer Olympics 2020 lineup that everyone's waiting for. It seems bad. And he's now saying that he had all the necessary permits back in April. Then tickets would have gone on sale.
Yeah, that's
right?
The opposite of what mm-hmm. you've been reporting this whole time.
It's
a mess. And the bands, what are the bands doing? Like,
right.
They've been told yes, no, yes, yeah. no. There's no way they're going to commit now.
Sit tight, guys.
Let's firefest it up, man.
Everything's going to be fine.
This is a mess.
Oh, it is. Absolutely. They've canceled the late night talk show Busy Tonight after just one season. Here's the statement that E told The Wrap. Busy Tonight's last episode for E will air Thursday, May 16th with a special celebratory half hour. Busy is a hilarious and charismatic talent, and we're grateful to the entire Busy Tonight team who has delivered countless laughs and heartwarming moments in what will be over 100 episodes. It just... had this issue with nobody watching it.
Oh, my God. It seems mean that you'd be so excited that it's being canceled, Kevin.
Did you say 100 episodes?
100 episodes.
What?
Well, because they went every day. Yeah.
Yeah, it was every day. But Busy said on her Instagram stories that she's shopping the show around, trying to find it another home.
At Woodstock.
I don't think
there it is. From Woodstock. There it is.
Yeah. Oh. They have the permits.
She did 100 shows. She could do 100 more.
Right.
Just there at Woodstock.
Interesting. Here's Post Malone. Reportedly plans to launch his own marijuana company on
Smoke Weed Every Day.
The 4th of July, which just so happens to be his 24th birthday. So not only is he turning 24, he's celebrating America's birth. According to TMZ, the company called Shabo Inc. initially debuted at the annual cannabis trade show, the Hall of Flowers, at the Sonoma County Fairgrounds in Santa Rosa, California. However, its official launch date will see it rolling out in dispensaries across the state. The business will include THC and CBD products, as well as accessories like rolling papers and grinders.
Are you guys a little bit surprised that once it was legalized, this hasn't happened faster?
That everybody,
every single person would jump right in and get their own line just because you get in first, you win, usually.
Yeah. You've got Shavo from...
System, sure.
I'm sure Snoop.
Seth Rogen came out with his own. Who else is a big old
Dame
weed
Judy
head?
Dench.
Dame Judy Dench.
She
big,
has her weed.
Big weed head.
Gallagher 2.
Gallagher 2. Well, he
the
has
brother.
To use something.
Be Real, we're going to talk to you later today.
Be Real.
Sure.
Be Real.
Jared Fogle from Subway.
Wait, he's stop still bringing in jail. Him up. And don't think he's...
Don't you guys like... Didn't you expect this to just hit all at once as soon as that happened?
Yeah, but I mean, think there's just because so many... it's not legal everywhere.
Yeah, I think once federally, it's, too. I mean, it still has issues everywhere.
Yeah. It's so silly.
It is
guys.
Stupid beyond words.
It's just silly. Road trip, or girls trip, sorry, very different. Or are they? Did you guys see the movie Girls Trip? Tiffany Haddish, Queen Latifah, Regina Hall?
I don't believe so.
It's actually really funny.
Good.
There's a scene.
Good for you.
New Orleans and...
Good for you,
Allie.
Excellent.
You see movies, we get it.
Stuff. Well, if you haven't seen it, then you probably aren't clamoring for a Girls Trip 2, but all the ladies have teased a sequel to Girls Trip, but Tiffany Haddish responded to a fan question at a recent event saying, I wish there was. I hope there is. I've been petitioning for it. And then she later said to Page Six, I've even written a script for it. Me and the girls punched it up and made it good. They don't want it. We understand how much money could be made, and they don't want to pay it.
Do
so
you care?
I doubt it.
Hmm.
I don't know. I think a lot of people care. That movie did very well.
You think a second one would?
I think it
just
would.
Just based on
you
the
think
story?
There were, like mysteries that weren't answered? Have to return.
Unanswerable questions?
Yeah.
Oh.
Thanos snapped his fingers, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Like that movie with, he had the baby in the front. And, ooh, I'm getting married.
Nope.
What?
Nope. Sit it out.
The one.
Nope. No one help. Don't, I mean.
Just anything else.
Anything else. Coming to mind. Baby in the front.
The guy that sings with Lady Gaga.
No. Nope.
Bradley Cooper.
Bradley Cooper.
Oh, come on.
Sorry.
Is the star of it with Zach Galifianakis.
Nope.
And
sitting
he had a
here.
Baby in front of him and me.
Are you talking about Hangover?
Yep.
Well, how could she not get Hangover?
What's the point? It should have a point.
I'm
or
sorry,
something.
Jensen. I let you down.
What I'm saying is, did we need 8 Hangovers? No. But could we have 2 girls' trips? Sure. Who's with me?
I mean, all right.
All right.
I'm not against
it. I'm not clamoring for the Girls Trip 2.
You didn't see Girls Trip originally.
Yeah, that's why I'm not waiting for 2.
Maybe 2 will be better.
So judgmental about stuff you never saw. What a dick.
Listen, I don't need to see a movie today. If I don't have the gusto to go see the first one, no need on 2.
Gusto is what you get to see a movie?
Fine, it worked.
Gusto work.
It's a weird,
fine.
Okay.
Weird choice of words, but okay.
Okay, you guys. Hey, you ready to smell like Ariana Grande?
Nope.
I don't know what she smells like.
Well, she has a number of fragrances to her name, including Ari, Cloud, Moonlight, Frankie, and Sweet Like Candy.
All good names for kids.
Yep. But now she's hinted that a Thank You Next inspired scent may be coming soon. In an Instagram post, Ariana revealed, "So I've been working on a Thank You Next fragrance, and I can't wait for you to see and smell her. She's like Ari if she went to the beach one time." She then followed it with a sequence of coconut emojis. Oh my God, is it going to smell like coconut? I can't wait.
I want to smell it.
Smells like donkey ass.
This is where we're at.
That would be good.
As a people.
Yeah.
Lot of...
it's happening.
A lot of different fragrances.
The ones who do it well make hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yeah. I want to make salad dressing.
Good luck with that.
like Paul Newman.
Yeah.
Don't even remember he's an actor.
That's a great plan.
They just think he's the guy in the salad dressing.
Yeah. Oh, the guy who made great salad dressings? Huh. That's a billion-dollar business.
Do you know anything about it?
Nah, son. Okay. I just don't.
Don't you think there's enough salad dressings? Like, you're not going to do anything different on the market.
I could.
Like
who
what?
Knows?
Like what?
Add weed.
Something.
Add weed.
Hemp dressing?
I like
No, just regular. It's like Thousand Island, but it's got weed in it.
All right, now I'm in. I'd like to buy a steak in your company.
Yeah, this is ranch, but it's got weed in it.
Okay.
That's the whole pitch.
That's the whole pitch.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The pitch is pretty strong.
What do you think? Let's check it out.
Salad weeding? Weed dressing?
I know you're spitballing here, let's give it another run.
You can work on that.
Salad messing?
We'll get back to you on that.
I don't know. Guys, it was a good idea.
Okay.
For that 45 seconds?
Yeah. I'm going to pitch it to Be Real.
Okay, good.
All right. Some birthdays for you guys. Actor Breckin Meyer, Edie Bryant from SNL, and singer Jay Balvin.
Time for the AFRO line, 323-520-AFRO. 24 hours a day. Any topic is fine. You leave us a message, we play them back.
Hey, Kevin and Bean. My name is Christina, first-time caller. I know it's been a long time, but I just wanted to say...
I was working in the lab late one night. I knew that was going to come back and haunt me.
Someone did it to you at April Foolishness.
At April Foolishness.
It was the greatest.
It was beautiful.
She said, just a minute, took a drink, and then gargled.
Yeah.
So, for those of you who didn't hear the story, first 10 years I worked with Bean, one of us would start gargling, and the other one had to start the Monster Mash.
It's so weird.
It's ridiculous.
It's so weird.
Don't know how that started.
And the person that was gargling would gargle until they died, unless the other person started. So finally, the other person just learned, all right, I'll just start doing it. It was a mistake to tell the masses. I'll tell you that right now.
Hi, this is DJ Omar Khan. Seriously, I can't stand Omar Khan. Let me tell you something, Mean Gene. In all the Hulkamaniacs, dude, there's never been a threat as bad as Omar Khan, dude. And we need to save Kevin and Bean Show, brother. Yeah. Ooh, yeah. I'm Hulk Hogan, by the way.
That's my favorite part of the impression.
Thank you, sir.
You went to the end.
All good impressions end with you telling me who you are, yeah, though.
Agreed.
Hey, Omar. Okay, now that we got that out of the way, listening to you talk about soups has made my hangover Saturday even worse. How could you forget about bisque? Bisque even considers a soup?
Bisque
soup? What about stew? These are the questions you need to be asking. These are the questions that plague our society.
Bisque, we brought up in past.
Yeah,
we said lobster bisque. Mm-hmm. And then stew, we left off, but I do believe it's a soup, yes.
Do you? I think it's more of a hearty meal.
No. But it's a soup.
Soup can be a hearty meal as well.
But
then why is chili not a soup?
Oh.
Right?
Consistency.
Consistency, yeah.
Well, same with stew. You've got like big old chunks of meat and potato.
I think I'm with Ellie.
Thank you, Kevin.
I think I'm with Ellie.
Sounds like someone dated a stew. S-T-U. Wait, meat. Meat.
This
stew.
Is Hulk, by the way.
This is Hulk, by the way.
Hey, guys. So Kevin and Bean, podcast listener here. I was wondering, last week on the show, I think you guys had Brad Williams on. Mm-hmm. Oh, he was so funny. I remember when he...
Very stuck on it now.
Wow, okay. It's back.
Hmm.
Let's stop doing that.
Hey, I'm a podcast listener.
By the way, I doubted all of these phone calls usually have a twist or they're funny or whatever. An actual, genuine, nice comment.
This message is more for Bob Saget. And I just wanted to say thank you for everything you've done to spread around awareness for scleroderma. I lost my father to that awful disease or whatever, like 11 years ago. And it sucks because like I can't talk to anyone about it because it feels like no one knows what it's about. So thank you for everything you've done. All right. Bye.
Aww.
That's great.
I'd never heard of it before I started going to Bob Saget's thing either. I don't
know.
Scleroderma, I didn't know was a thing that existed, but he lost his family members to it as well. So he does great work on that thing. This is not a call we need.
Baby shark, doo 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 doo. Baby shark, doo 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 doo. Baby shark, doo 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 doo. Baby shark. You're welcome.
Oh, that's going to ruin everyone's day.
All day.
Mm-hmm.
All day. I'm going to have that in my head.
Limpina?
Good delivery, thank you. Klein does the show in the afternoons with Stryker.
Never heard of him.
And apparently Stryker's starting, perhaps, to get on his nerves a little bit.
Hey guys, it's Klein. Help me. Stryker doesn't let me leave the studio. all this talk about ducks and crap. It's a giant cover. He's a sick man. A sick, sick man. Okay, I gotta go. I hear someone.
Oh my God, you guys.
We've really uncovered something,
right? It got dark.
You need to check in with them and see what's going on for sure. It's possible that I make a mistake occasionally.
What?
Yeah.
Anyone else notice how Kevin keeps saying MCU Universe? You know what the U of MCU stands for, Kevin? Kevin!
I mean, to be fair.
I'm not sure what you're going to say, but thank you.
ATM machine.
Same.
Right?
I don't say that. I say
doesn't
ATM.
Help, though, because that's wrong as well.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I was trying to help.
Well said, Kevin.
Appreciate it.
Hey, guys. Really looking forward to the Weenie Rose this year. I know sometimes you do like a secret surprise guest or a secret opening act. I'm thinking Menudo. That would be spanking.
That would be spanking.
I mean, technically, that would be spanking.
That would be spanking. I would be into it.
Hey, Bean, I know you're not really good at this whole, like, people saying goodbye to you and saying nice things to you and everything. I know. But I think I speak for everyone when I say that.
All right, before we move on, I just want to remind people, mm-hmm. Bean has a really hard time with heart attacks mm-hmm. and strokes and anything in the human condition that happens immediately. He wants to see it coming. He needs a trail of proof.
Yeah.
And it freaks him out that something like that could happen when yesterday that person was perfectly fine.
Yeah.
I really, really hope that you die of a heart attack before you go to England. Now, hear me out, you know, because the very next day, all of us in the air can be like, well, I don't understand. I mean, like, he was doing just fine, you know, talking on the radio one day, and the next day, bam, he's dead. Like, can we call Dr. Drew and ask, like, what happened or, like, you know, how we can stop this? And, oh, you know what's even better? Kevin, speaking at your funeral, can you imagine that?
I am a longtime friend him. Oh, my God, please. Can we make this happen? Somebody get Dr. Drew on the line to see how we can make this happen.
Wow.
He had a fantasy.
He has a full fantasy, and it's very developed. Well done.
That was Hulk Hogan, by the way.
323-520-AFRO. You can leave us a message about any.
I'm Hulk Hogan, by the way.
Got to turn on your mic.
I mean, none of our mics are on, including myself. You follow Doors on Instagram.
Yeah.
Doors of the Great West. What do you follow?
I follow a hashtag, Doors of Instagram, and I'll tell you why.
Not like
the band Doors.
No.
Right.
Physical Doors.
I used to follow Doors of London, and then I was like, wow, you guys are repurposing a bunch of old posts. This is not what I signed up for.
Why did you sign up for pictures of doors?
There are beautiful doors all over the world that we just don't know about. Gorgeous, ornate doors.
Okay.
Beautiful doors. Here's the thing. Then I was not pleased with the amount of doors I was getting from Doors of London. So then I saw the hashtag Doors of Instagram.
And you can follow a hashtag now, yeah.
I mean, just amazing.
You're a loser.
Right?
I do not follow, you know, the weird pets that a lot of people follow.
Oh, yeah, weird door girl over here. She draws the line at pets.
I did used to follow what was once one of the greatest of all Instagram accounts, Cheese Curls of Instagram. They were just kind of Cheetos that looked like things, but they haven't posted since 2016. So I was like, listen, I got to get my kicks somewhere.
Right? Mm-hmm.
But Doors of Instagram, that hashtag, and then I don't know if you guys are into cabin porn, but I am.
Describe?
Like, cabins. Like
you look
out,
at a cab?
Out in the woods, these beautiful cabins. They've got tree houses. You've got the Cabin Land, which is what I follow. There's also Cabin Porn, Cabin Love, Cabin Lust, Cabin Vibes. These are gorgeous cabins. And not only the outside of them, sometimes the inside, and sometimes they'll have you vote. Would you rather have a lake house cabin or a mountain cabin?
What kind of sad and lonely.
It is interactive.
What kind of time do you have in your life?
I love cabins. And I love doors.
All right, we're going to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067 if you follow something weird on Instagram. Now, I think we're going to have to eliminate pets, right?
Yeah.
Because a lot of people follow pets.
I think that's like the main thing to follow that isn't people.
I find that strangely ridiculous, mm-hmm. but I'm in the minority, so okay, fine. But let's leave pets out of this. You follow something on Instagram that makes you laugh.
Yeah.
Casey.
Yes, hello.
Nope, there was no.
Come on.
Excellent. There was no way her mic was on. The odds of that happening.
There we go.
All right. You used to follow who?
I used to follow Poos with a View.
I'm sorry?
Poos with a View. It no longer exists, sadly.
So that's toilets with great seats? I mean, great views?
Yeah. So they would be out in the wilderness, and they would be like a legit like outhouse, and you're looking into just gorgeous expanse of greenery. But then there's other ones where it's like, this is on the 100-and-something floor of a building and wherever. And it was pretty cool.
But couldn't you find that fix without the toilet part of it?
Just
beautiful
good
views or whatever. Yeah,
well, yeah, it's cool to think quirk.
That, yeah, that you're sitting there just doing your business, but you're looking at beauty. That's great. I feel you, Casey.
Of course you do.
But the one that is still in existence, although they haven't posted in like a year, cats in bidets.
And it's cats in just sitting in bidets.
Yep, cats
that are not on
a bidet. Well, correct.
Okay.
Well, I mean, they could
be,
but they'd be under the cats. You wouldn't know.
So the cat's just curled up in a bidet, and that's it.
Yes. My favorite part of that account, though.
She can't stop laughing. She loves it. She loves it.
No, a couple years ago, it's all cats and bidets on the entire
This is
page.
Funny. She showed me.
And then all of a sudden, on, like, June 16th, it's like, shout out to Tupac. It would have been his birthday.
She showed me, like, 100 pictures of toilets with views, and then just that one.
He's respectful.
For Tupac.
It's pretty great.
I follow Wicked Slams, just at Wicked Slams. It's just
is that NBA?
Nah, dog. Oh. It's just people falling off skateboards and bikes.
Oh, I love that so
just
much.
Just at full speed,
people
man.
Falling, I'm all over. I have 20 of those accounts that
they're
I
follow. They're so good.
They just make me laugh.
And I follow Deadly Prey Gallery, which is based out of Chicago, and they showcase movie posters by Ghana artists from Ghana. But it's movie posters that they paint, but they've never seen the movies. So, like, they'll draw one for, like, Beethoven, the dog movie, but, like, the dog will be, like, have, like, a bloody hand in its mouth. They think it's, like, a horror, like, Cujo. Or, like, there's one for He Got Game, the basketball one, and it's just Denzel with a basketball in one hand and a gun in the other. I was like, he has not seen He Got Game.
No. Yeah.
No. That sounds like it might be worth following.
Yeah, just taking stabs. Oh, I think this is about this. Police Academy? That sounds rough. Blood everywhere.
Sure.
Yeah. All right, let's take a phone call. Let's go to Nikki in Santa Monica. Good morning, Nikki.
Good morning. I follow DILFs of Disneyland.
Oh, yeah.
DILFs.
DILFs.
Yeah.
Dads I'd like to?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But there's some Disneyland. Hot dads on Disneyland. That.
It's a solid account.
Is it? Listen, everybody follows it. What's happening? Everyone? Chip, do you follow that? You do!
Oh, no. This is very...
What's happening? This is disturbing.
Pulling the curtain back.
All right, Nikki. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it.
Uh-huh.
Okay. 1-800-520-1067. You follow something odd on Instagram. We'll talk to you. It's 7:31, just ahead of Empire of the Sun. We're talking about you follow bizarre Instagram accounts. And we have Grace on the line from Los Angeles. Morning, Grace.
Hi, good morning.
Hi. You follow what?
So, I follow this account called Camera Jewels. It's our lovely favorite actor, Cole Sprouse. And basically, when he's out in public and he sees people trying to take, like, sneaky photos of him, you know, they're trying to pretend they're on a phone call, but then the flash goes off.
Right.
He takes photos of them first. So it's like a duel, and he always wins.
So
and the captions are just hilarious.
So it's camera duels? That's the account?
Camera underscore duels.
Yeah. Yes.
I love this account. And someone,
have you seen it?
No, she's telling me of it for the first time, but have I seen people trying to sneakily take photos of my wife every single time we go out? Idiot Tommy Lahren did it to us this weekend while we were in Dallas.
Oh.
And I'm just like, what are you doing? So I am, Grace, I am full speed ahead on this. I'm following it now.
Absolutely.
Thank you. It's a service.
He's a rider. You know, he's RC, and the captions are just hilarious.
I'm in. Right.
Thank you for the call, Grace. We appreciate it. 1-800-520-1067. We'll take yours coming up right after Empire of the Sun on K-Rock. At 7:35, we are talking about Instagram accounts that you follow that are bizarre or weird or people make fun of you for, or we need to follow any of the above.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start with Nick in Downey. Good morning, Nick.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
What do you follow?
All right, so please don't think anything of me for saying this, but it's just one of those things that's just tragically hilarious.
Okay.
It's called Kittler. Kittler. Kittens that look like Hitler.
Oh, because the little mustache, the little black kind of coloring under their nose? Or is
exactly.
it that? Or is it that they hate Jews? Oh, it is. Okay, it's a little message. Okay,
they're attacking Jewish people.
This is very popular on the internet in general, and there have been ones that I've seen that look exactly like Adolf. It's terrifying.
Yeah, like very funny and frightening. So
yeah, it's very scary.
That's crazy.
We got a tweet from Queenie68. I follow at Cups of Target. People leave beverage cups, mostly Starbucks ones, in weird places all around Targets. Too damn lazy to find a trash can. This person just posts pictures of them.
Why?
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay. Jackie in South El Monte. Good morning.
Hey.
Hello. Hey there. You follow who or what on Instagram?
I follow Satan.
Oh
dear.
Satan.
He's hilarious.
Is he?
It's basically
a site that posts a bunch of memes, but I get a reason to tell people to go follow Satan, and that's good enough for me.
Okay.
Yeah, you and Satan are technically pals.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I mean, he doesn't follow me back.
Oh, just yeah. like Satan, right?
He never does.
Goals.
He never does.
Son of a bitch.
He never does.
She said goals.
She
did. Thank you, Jackie, for the call. We appreciate that. I don't even understand Mike's, but let's give it a try. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Thank you. What do you follow on Instagram that's sort of strange?
I follow a conologist.
A conologist. Hmm.
Yeah, I follow a conologist. Actually, this guy, he goes and takes pictures of traffic cones in various positions, whether they be on vehicles, they be in ditches, they be down, they might be striped cones, they might be pink cones, they might be yellow cones. Hmm. So they might be getting run over, and he has all these quippy little quotes that go with them. So...
Mike, you sound like a good dude. That I'm no closer to following that account now that you've explained it. No closer.
It's awesome. It's completely awesome.
You know what's truly funny is that probably every account we mention has more followers than we do.
Oh, 100%.
I would hope so.
By the way, Beth on Twitter says, I follow miserable men. It's just photos of men waiting around at malls looking bored.
Listen.
That's amazing.
That's me.
Kevin and I don't have to follow that. We live it.
Right.
Let's go to Serge in Pasadena. Good morning, Serge. Hello.
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 Hi. What's going on?
Yes. How are you?
We're good. Thank you. What Instagram account do you follow?
It's called Girls with Irrelevant Captions, but it also has men on there.
Love it.
Okay. Bad title then. So all right.
Sell it to us.
Yeah, it's essentially say a girl in a very sexy bikini picture on a bed in a very provocative stance, and the caption will read, I miss my dog.
Yeah. Well, that was a good sell.
So it's the caption in juxtaposition with the picture. That's why you follow it.
Exactly.
All right.
I like that.
Thank you, Serge. That doesn't sound bad.
No.
Let's go to Jonathan in Los Angeles. Good morning, Jonathan.
What happened? Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. I follow Subway Creatures.
Oh, is that the one where they follow people on the subway in New York City?
Yeah, it's all over the world, but it's just very interesting. People wearing Spider-Man costumes, people falling asleep. It's hilarious. I think it's one of the best ones out there.
I mean, yeah, I love watching homeless too.
I don't think he's saying they're all homeless.
Oh, okay.
No.
I don't think so. There may be even worse trouble going on there. Katie in Azusa, good morning.
Good morning.
Talking about Instagram, weird Instagram accounts you follow.
Weird Instagram accounts. I follow serial killers.
Like actual accounts by them, or an account called at serial killers?
No, at serial killers.
Oh.
It's very fascinating. Yeah, I love it.
You don't want serial killers to follow you. That would be the bigger problem.
I don't know. We haven't talked to Katie
amazing.
Long enough to know if she's not into that.
So what do they tell you at serial killers? what do they tell you at serial killers?
Very fascinating facts, how they kill, and just important information we need to know.
Oh, it sounds like Katie's researching.
Wow, sure does.
Just watch Dateline like the rest of us.
What's the best thing you've learned from this account?
Well, the best thing I learned was to cover my tracks and use ciphers.
Okay, no, I thought it was fun facts about serial killers. I didn't know they were giving you a plan.
Oh.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. In a half hour, we're going to talk to David Cross, who's going to be stopping by our studio.
Woo-hoo. Excellent.
Love him so much. That's coming up. Also, Be Real is coming up later on in the program. Right now, Allie is here with a look at what's happening.
You guys remember Wendy's spicy chicken nuggets?
Of course.
Removed from the, of course you do, removed from the national menu in March 2017. Although if you live in Austin, Texas or St. Louis.
That was a dark day.
They still have it there. So a lot of people move to those two areas just to keep getting the Wendy's spicy chicken nuggets. Well, guess what, guys? Due to Chance the Rapper tweeting positive affirmations for today. I will have a good day. I will succeed today. Wendy's will bring back spicy nuggets at some point. Please, please, Lord, let it be today. Thanks to that tweet.
Yes.
And Wendy seeing it, quote tweeting it and writing, y'all keep asking, so here's your chance. The people in charge say if you guys can get our tweet, this one right here, to 2 million likes, they will bring spicy chicken nuggets back. Let's freaking do this. Well, it took a day and a half.
Oh, okay.
2.2 million likes. And Wendy's tweeted, this is not a drill. Spicy chicken nuggets are coming back. Y'all are crazy. That took like a day and a half. What? We don't know when yet. Gotta figure it out, but soon. And okay, losing it right now. This is amazing. That's from Wendy's, you guys. So, congratulations.
That sounds like a full plan, don't you think?
It certainly does. But, yeah. I mean, let's not...
Don't care, it's coming back.
Yeah, let's not get into the weeds with conspiracy theories. Just be thankful that spicy chicken nuggets are coming back. So, do you feel bad, like, if you move to Austin or St. Louis just to get those? Right? You losers. All right, Jensen, we were just saying a little while ago that neither of us slept real well last night, right?
No, terrible sleep.
All right, here is a very interesting bit of research that 1 in 4 Americans say they would shave their heads for a year of perfect sleep.
Oh, I'd do that.
Shave your head? I would cut off an arm.
Yeah. Wow.
Okay. That would be amazing. Full year of sleep?
That is not in the research, okay. But I'm going to add you to that. Here's what other people would do. So a quarter of people would exclusively eat peanut butter and jelly sandwiches at lunch, while 22% said they'd only shower once a week if it meant they could have a year's worth of blissful rest. Okay,
that's more of a problem for others.
Yeah, those only shower once a week people are sick. But yeah. PB&J for lunch for a year, that sounds like something I'd do anyway.
Yeah, agreed.
That sounds delightful. And that's not all people would do. 17% say, I'd stub my toe every morning.
Every morning?
Oh, no, I wouldn't do that.
You wouldn't do that?
That's depends painful,
on the,
man.
It depends on the severity of it.
The severity of the stub?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Can be horrible, can just be annoying.
I mean, they all suck.
What about 14% of people who said, yeah, I'll go to jail for a week if it means a year of good sleep?
Those people are going to jail for a week anyway, I would assume.
I would. This is.
You would. You'd go to jail for a week.
Yeah, probably would.
Absolutely.
Because I've also had a weird thought that it would be cool to know what jail is like.
I'll let you handle that one.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you get a lot of time to read.
I think you would be very popular in jail.
Oh, well, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of that, I visited Alcatraz. I've done the tour more than once, and it's super fun.
Yeah.
I like reading all the things about San Quentin.
But you know what you can do is you can go in and take that tour and then leave.
It's not the same as being in
That's
it, man.
Important. Mm. Yeah, I know.
I love escape rooms.
Okay. It's very different what you'd be escaping from if you were in jail is all I have to say. What about the average person? How much would they pay for a single perfect night's sleep? How much
just
do you think
night.
They would pay?
Mm-hmm. $200.
$200?
That's a lot.
Okay.
I mean, the guy just said he'd spend a week in jail, shave his head.
For a year, though. For a year.
That's for a year.
This is for one night.
This is just one night.
Oh, $50.
Okay.
I say $100.
$307.11.
Wow.
Why the 11 cents?
I'm not positive.
It's very bizarre. I thought that was crazy.
That's a lot of dough, man.
Just for one night of perfect sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. And for that one night of perfect sleep, 34% willing to cut out alcohol, 33% willing to cut out reality TV, and 26% said, I'm willing to cut out sports for the night.
Oh, sports.
It depends on what season it is. If it's that ugly time after hockey where there's, a lot of baseball.
Just baseball?
Mm, okay.
Okay. All right. I just thought that was so interesting. I don't know. For a year's worth of perfect sleep, you wouldn't stub your toe every morning?
No,
I totally
absolutely
would.
Absolutely not.
Because if you serve a week in jail, it's done and behind you, and now you have a year of sleep. This, you have to keep doing it every day.
All right.
I'm jail.
Oh, I'm jail for sure.
Okay.
But I'd also, if jail wasn't on the table,
right,
and I could just stub my toe every morning.
I wouldn't do that.
Continue, please.
I'd be into it.
Okay.
Because I'd be like, oof, that would hurt more if I didn't sleep so well. Right? You want me to pee on you? I don't know where that came from, lady, but you are sick. Also, interesting kink. Guys, some birthdays for you. AD Bryant, Breckin Meyer, Jay Balvin, and that's what's happening.
All right, listen. We need some Zero Club members to call.
Oh, dear.
At 1-800-520-1067. We have some business to take care of.
You guys have a major responsibility.
Really do.
If you're a member of the Zero Club, call now. 1-800-520-1067. David Cross is coming up in studio in about 15 minutes. First little business. I may have run out of gas on Friday.
Mm-hmm. Unbelievable.
It's possible that happened.
How is that possible when you are the not only founding member of Zero Club, but you're the president?
He's the face.
You can't run out of gas. You've been denying people access into the Zero Club.
Cruelly, too. Cruelly. I was not nice about it.
This is like when the Men's Warehouse guy got fired. And I was like, who am I supposed to buy suits from?
So true.
So Friday I was going to a doctor's appointment. I was late. There's no possible way I could have stopped and got gas. I was out. I drove for about 10 miles on empty, and then my car quit.
Unreal.
And then I ran the rest of the way because it was only about a half mile, and I got there three or four minutes late. They were fine with it. So then, I forgot to tell you this part, I had anesthesia as part of the thing, so then I couldn't drive for 24 hours, so I had to get an Uber to take me home, and then the next day, Saturday, I had to take an Uber to go back and get my car.
Good God.
So that all happened on time. So,
and where did you park it?
Well, I mean, I parked it on the street where I thought it was a, you know, a legal parking spot.
Uh-huh.
And then it had a ticket on it.
Sure.
Oh.
So then when I had the Uber guy pull me, you know, drop me off by my car so I could take a picture, I moved my car to a side street, which was fine.
Okay.
And then came back and got it the next day. But I've really been denying people pretty hardcore that run out of gas.
Yeah.
Because you're a loser.
Sure.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So what do we do now?
Well, I think the people need to speak. Obviously, you're their leader, and when they see you falter in a way such as this, is they're coming back from it. I don't know, Kevin.
This, I need a Lord of the Flies situation.
Right.
We need the inmates to talk about, you know, what's going to happen now.
All right. Amanda? In Southgate.
Yes.
Hi there. You're a Zero Club.
What's up, party people?
You're a Zero Club member?
I sure am. That's how I live my life on a daily basis.
Okay.
I'd just like to stop you right there and say it's a terrible way to live your life on a daily basis. It's stupid.
But I haven't run out of gas.
Well,
And that makes you a member. So what does it feel like now that your leader has run out of gas?
Yeah, what do we do with me?
I mean, it's a little disappointing, but at least you know the furthest extent of how far you can go without gas. You said you want a good 10 miles. That's a good 10 miles.
Right?
With no gas.
Glass half full right here.
10.1.
So, Amanda, you're looking at this as a teachable moment.
Oh, everything's a teachable moment with Kevin.
Right.
Okay. Well, you are not wrong.
She's not wrong.
It's very true.
This is a lot like when Patty Hearst liked her kidnappers. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like
positive. That's what this
is
like.
Exactly like that.
Because Amanda, what do I do with everybody that I denied into the Zero Club who ran out of gas now? I mean, I feel like if I remain, I must let them
let
in.
Them in now.
Yeah, I must. Yeah. I have to.
Because, I mean, technically, I don't want to say I've run out of gas. I've had a small hiccup.
Sounds like someone wasn't in the club to begin with.
On, but it kept going.
No, that sounds shaky. All right, but she was a vote for me to stay, right?
Yeah,
so
she's still
in. I'm going to take a yes from that. Mm-hmm. Going to go to Jim in Silver Lake. Good morning, Jim.
Yo, how's it going?
Good, thank you.
Yo.
Yo, we're here.
All right.
Why are you yelling?
All right, perfect.
Okay. All right, what do you think? I ran out of gas on Friday.
What's going on? Joe Cedar, I'm with you. Stick with it, man.
Stick with it. Okay, so another vote.
So it's like the Zero Club minus one. Like you have a mulligan.
Like a probationary period.
I see that. So once I get to zero again, and then don't run out of gas, then I'm fully back.
Oh, you're back,
the
even
president.
Okay. I feel like there should be some sort of probationary period, like 6 months. If it doesn't happen again. I mean, Kevin, it's not supposed to happen.
I get a tank a week. I mean, come on. Joey and Downey, good morning.
Hey, I just rolled into work way past zero. I don't.
All right, that's
congrats.
My man.
First, congrats.
I thought I put gas in last night, and I woke up. I said, "Oh crap,
That, by the way, that's how it happens. It's not that you plan to get in the Zero Club. It's just you're busy and you can figure out how many miles you have left and you're good and you can cover it. And then one day you can't. Joey, what are your thoughts on me running out, though?
Does he stay in the club?
I say impeachment.
Oh.
And we fight impeachment.
Wow. Finally, someone is breaking the Radion Durf cult.
Wow.
I didn't expect that because you obviously have put that Radion Durf out to your people.
Yeah.
And I didn't think anyone would turn on you. This is shocking.
That is shocking.
So that's three yeses?
That's nope, that's two in, one out.
That sounded like a yes.
Calm down, Dave Koresh.
Okay. Jen in Montebello, good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, Jen, number one, are you in the Zero Club?
I am.
And what do you think now that your leader has betrayed your creed and rules?
I'm going to go ahead and keep blindly following Tevin. Like, you know, I don't know what else to do. I've been listening to K-Rock since literally the day I was born. So.
If I could just give everybody a word of warning, don't listen to me.
No, clearly people are listening to you.
I know, but in this particular case.
The Kevin Lemmings,
okay.
Even Kemmings maybe, they're terrifying. These people are just walking into Earth with no gas, just leaving their car parked on a side street till they get a ticket.
You get through life however you can, man. So,
I mean, it's gotten you this far in life, so.
I'm not positive that being a Zero Club member has gotten you this far in life.
Well, what is the vote currently?
Zero Club.
I mean,
driving from Phoenix to LA.
You are in the Zero Club, Phoenix to LA?
Yep. On one tank of gas, I rolled in, and as soon as I got to my parents' house, I had zero miles left, so.
Nice work.
Congratulations.
See, she timed it perfectly. I didn't. I ran out of gas.
Yeah, but now she should be the president, is what I'm saying. Jen, would you take the role?
I mean, if the people want it.
I feel like, Jen, the people have spoken.
I have to watch the chimney to see if there's white smoke or black smoke. This is very serious.
She's now the new Pope of Zero Club.
Is there a Pope?
Jen's the Pope.
Jen's the Pope.
Congratulations, Jen. You're the Pope.
And Kevin stays the leader.
I feel like I'm going to stay the leader just because I can pardon myself. I'm the president, right?
Oh, one of these guys again.
Right? David Cross.
Yeah. Hello.
Welcome to K-Rock.
Well, thank you for having me.
What happened there? Because we heard that you were dropped off but not here, and then you were running.
Yep.
What?
I was walking briskly.
Okay.
The driver dropped me off. I flew in from New York last night, so I've got a driver taking me to all these things, and I wasn't really paying attention. Not that I've ever been here before, but he's
it's a different place.
All right, here you go. There's no parking over here, so I'll let me know and when you're ready to come down, whatever.
And he left.
I got out. Thanks. All right, I'll see you in a bit. And then and he reminded me of the address, which he said was 5470, and there's an Indian restaurant, and then there's a flower place,
right?
And I'm like, oh, that's not it. And literally, where he dropped me off, the address he gave me is and I'm doing air quotes here, massage parlor, old school with the mirrored windows, that kind of thing.
How was that?
And it was good. That's why I'm late. you see me sweating and out of breath. It had nothing to do with the brisk walk.
So the actual address is 5670, not 5470.
So then, and also I knew time was getting tight, so I was like, okay. And I looked at, it's all good. And then I could see luckily this, your building and your place has the address is huge.
Yeah, so you can see from far.
So I can see it. It was like four avenues, whatever, L.A. long streets.
Yeah, we got your steps in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was good. Good.
It was good. You have a new special coming out this week called Oh Come On. Mm-hmm. What is it that you want to tell us about? I watched it last night and it's hilarious.
It's great.
I can't wait to see it.
Well, thank you.
I can't wait for other people to see it.
That was interesting.
What I should say.
Freudian slip. I watched it last night, and I can't wait to see it.
That was
basically what I said.
Of course, was. What I should have said was I didn't watch it last night, and I can't wait to see it. No, it was fun. It's a slight... I, I don't want anybody to get the wrong idea. It's, I wouldn't say it's a departure, but because of kind of some thematic.
I had a kid, and
first time father. So a lot of the material that kind of threads its way through the special. So it feels a little more fully realized in a sense.
Is like it more personal than you've ever been?
I as a huge fan of yours, I think it's more personal than you've ever been.
Yeah, I guess so. Just by nature of that. Yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm. Can't wait to see it then.
It's really good. Watch it. No, I saw it last night. The truth is, I saw it last night.
Although I did laugh because at one point you said, "Listen, for everyone here, this is not going to be a special about my kid. I will not talk about my kid." And then you did for a large chunk.
Well, he did like 20 minutes of the hour,
out and then back in. But it's deeply personal in that you talk about your not only the kid but your wife a lot more than I've ever heard you talk about.
Yeah,
has she seen it?
She can't wait to see it for the ninth time. She watched it with Kevin last night.
Yeah.
And she says hello, by the way.
She's the best. Tell her hi.
I will. It's not like she's popping in while I'm taping the set for the first time. And we were on tour together, which we did the last tour, just by coincidence, she had a book come out. Right as my tour was starting, which is so the whole family tour, we had a bus and I had the kid and a nanny and we set up a crib in the back. And so it was a family affair going across North America. And
at any point, did you want to get out of the bus and just
run for
4 blocks like you did today?
It's tight. I mean, it's a pretty crazy, chaotic, tight situation, so she saw because I will ask her for I'll ask her things about she'll help me with the set in a certain way. I don't like when I was putting the set together, and I've never done this before when working on material starting from scratch. I was home, home with the kid. She was actually out and working, and I would just, at night, 3 times a week on average, I'd get on my bike or I'd walk to a venue, one of 3 in Brooklyn, where I just started doing the material and developing it, notes on stage and taping everything and, basically started from scratch. And then when it was really getting developed, after several months, I would ask the audience questions like, "What do you think? Was that too much dad stuff? Not enough? More? Should I put this here?"
Wow, really?
Oh, it was great. And they excuse me.
And you got you got help from them?
Yeah, a lot. And then sequencing is one of the most important parts when you're putting your stuff together, because you've got all this disparate stuff. And so the audience was very helpful. They came up with a title. I didn't come up with that title.
Is that right?
The audience, yeah. Two guys at the same time on either side of a bigger room. I was at the Bell House, so that's probably like 400 people. And I do this literally every single time. My initial ideas of what I'm going to call the special or the CD are just terrible. They're either too much of a pun, like eye-rolling, groaning, or they're way too pretentious. And it happens every time. And the ideas I had, I would say, "What do you think of this for a title?" And just immediate vociferous booing. Immediately.
I mean, technically that's what you wanted, but most people I don't think would get that.
But they...
Your audience may be different.
But I was asking them, I asked them, I said, if you can stay at the end and help me out. And so I asked them all kinds of stuff. The audience was very helpful in, saying, "That's the perfect amount of dad stuff. Now move on.
Awesome.
No more religious stuff. All right, that you don't need that trumpet if you're going to do the other trumpet." They were very, very good, and my wife was kind of part of that, process. It came at the very end, and so I've been talking for 5 minutes. What was the question?
Well, I like the old titles. "Shut Up, You Effing Baby."
Yeah, that was an ex-girlfriend came up with that. We were driving. We had been to some amusement park in Pennsylvania, and we were driving back to New York. It was at night, And I was like, oh, what if I call it this? What if I call it that? And they're just terrible. Just the worst. Either so corny or just pretentious.
So then, most of your titles come out of people being aggravated with you.
and she was the one who...
Stop using the F word.
I'm sorry, guys.
Twice. It's okay.
I'm sorry.
He just realized he's on the radio.
I'm sorry. Well, I don't know.
Podcasts. I know it. It's ruined
I'm
our
I'm terribly
our
sorry. I will not do that again.
You don't curse on the special, do you? That's a joke. David Cross is here. We will take a quick break and we'll be right back on. Comedian David Cross is joining us in the studio. He's got a new comedy special out Friday called Oh Come On, which we found out in the last break that the crowd came up with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I also wanted to mention the other crowd participation that I noticed during the show, and this was really funny to me, is you went off on a tangent, and then at one point in your special you said, what am I talking about? And somebody from the crowd goes, colonics! I was like, okay, well.
That's an unfortunate part of the set sometimes. I tend to, I'm not very well disciplined and, you know, stuff will fly around my head.
Yeah, that got him into a Grateful Dead cover band.
Oh, that's right.
Got him into a lot of different places.
I haven't seen the special, since we put it together. But
neither has Kevin.
I've seen it.
Oh, man. I remember calling Bob Odenkirk, and I told him I riffed the most Bob Odenkirk line it just sounds like it's such a Bob Odenkirk joke when the thing about the Grateful Dead cover band and then I just start going into it and the line about I can't remember exactly how it goes, but like
not enough. Are your shoes off enough?
Yes.
I'm a Mr. Show fan, so that's I hear a Bob Odenkirk joke.
Yeah, that's it. Just sounds like something Bob would come up with.
I do love that.
Bob, are your shoes off enough for you?
Can I ask a question, Bob related, sort of?
Yeah.
So this is something that has bothered me constantly. I think about it every couple of months. You guys are both so good in the post, and it was like such a great turn to see you guys do dramatic work. Obviously Bob's been doing it, but seeing you in it, I was like, oh, I'm such a fan. And then I read an interview where Steven Spielberg said he didn't know Mr. Show existed.
No, he had no idea.
Then you guys both just got cast in a movie.
It was,
you wowed him.
Listen, no, it was the craziest. And we were told not to say anything, like specifically Bob.
Oh.
And I were told individually,
don't say to him
don't
that we've worked
that
together
we,
for
that
years.
We were part of this, you know, cult comedy thing. And but the very first, first 3 days of shooting were specifically in that big newsroom, and we had a lot of numerous scenes that were the ones where there's like five or six of us, and it's like Tom Hanks and, you know, Bob and me and a couple other guys, and a lot of those scenes were shot in the first 3 days, and quite literally the first three scenes we did together, starting, okay, here we go, we're shooting the movie, and he shot on film, not digitally, so you'd have to rehearse everything because there's a lot of choreography.
Yeah, don't have the time.
Movement
yeah.
to the camera and stuff and lighting, and so we'd rehearse it. And I think instinctively, Bob and I, you know, if we were in Tom Hanks's office, right? So I'd be on the couch and Bob would be leaning against the bookshelf and somebody would be here and there. And we just kind of placed ourselves away from each other. I think without, you know, unspoken, just like, this is probably for the best. And we'd rehearse it and Steve would come in and go, okay, that was great. Why don't you go over here and David, go stand next to Bob. And then and that happened three times in a row. And the first time Bob and I just kind of looked at each other, okay. Then the next time we're like trying to suppress a smile. I'm like, this is crazy.
That's amazing.
Because you see it and you're like, Spielberg must be a big Mr. Show fan. That is so awesome. He didn't know it all.
No, we were not allowed to say anything until the very end. Yeah.
What was his reaction when you were like, listen.
We've been lifelong partners, basically.
He was, you know, it was... slightly amusing. That was all. There wasn't any gravity, and he didn't care. Like, you know,
me and this guy helped define sketch comedy. All right, dude, we got to get moving.
Cool. Time for lunch.
I feel like he's the kind of guy that just doesn't
need to know anything outside of his world. I know.
Everyone's looking at it and thinking it.
Of course.
No one warned him, like, hey, those two dudes.
Well, just Mr. Show fans. I think a
lot of
people.
All comedy nerds, at least.
Yeah.
I guess the post and comedy nerds don't have a huge intersection, but they did when you were in it.
Amazing.
When you were in it.
But it was, and he's the coolest guy. I mean, that was, I will never, ever, ever forget that experience. It was one of the greatest experiences.
Why? What's he like?
As you might imagine, just completely self-assured, confident, totally cool on set. It's important to him to have a copacetic set. People are joking and smiling. You know, when you got to do the work, you got to do the work. But it's for how tense it is. And that movie in particular was a super quick turnaround because of the nature of the topicality of it. So, you know, and he was in the middle of cutting Ready Player One and getting the effects for that. So it was really intense. And, you know, it's just he's as a pro as you're ever going to find. And the shorthand that he has with his crew, the DP and the camera operators and the lighting, and they have this shorthand that you can only get through, decades of working together.
They're sort of all on the same page, same time.
Yeah. And it was great. It was just a really cool thing to be around, especially because so many, lesser talented, lesser experienced people are can be dicks.
Tyrants.
And not keep a good set,
I did read too that you worked on this while you were in London, that worked on the stand-up special while you were in London working on a TV show that didn't go, that you had put, it seems like, almost your whole life into for a while. How much is stand-up sort of like that thing that will always be there for you, whether you're in the post or doing movies or
always? Because I mean, it's requires nothing but me. Mm-hmm. I don't even need a mic in some places, it's just I don't need to have anybody sign off on it. I don't need to wait for financing. I don't need to make compromises with, like, well, if you cast this, hot actress, then maybe we can, talk about getting some money for this idea. Yeah. I mean, there's none of that. Mm-hmm. I go up, I have these ideas, and it's fun. It's truly one of the most pleasurable, satisfying things. And this set in particular, this special has some performance to it. And those are really fun things to do.
Yeah.
It's silly. I can't give you like a hierarchy of what's more fun. And sometimes you get this question, like, if you could only do one thing, for the rest of your life.
Hold on, let me scratch that question.
That was a big closer.
Pretty good impression, though, right?
Very well.
Those are always such so weird, like, what a strange hypothetical. What happened? What world are we living in? If you could only eat one food,
you're
for the
candle
rest
maker,
of your
man. That's it. You decided. You're a plumber.
Yeah, it's.
It does seem like the top for you, though. To me. And sketch, obviously.
They are all different things, but stand-up is the first thing I did. I've been doing this for a long, long time, so... And it's just a monologue, but it's also a dialogue in a way that TV shows and writing and sketch and film aren't. This is an actual, and it's live, and you're getting instantaneous feedback. And especially because, like, as you mentioned, the digression and going off on a tangent, the shows have a unique quality to them. So the show you see in Calgary is different than the show you see in Providence. It's different than the show you see in Dallas,
Well, people are going to love the special.
Yeah, I agree.
It's so good.
Not people in Santa Monica.
Yeah, they get it the worst, but he has a point.
I came back, my in-laws are in Santa Monica, which is where my wife grew up. They're still in the same place where she grew up, same apartment complex. And, when I think I probably pulled back a little bit when I did the show in L.A. A little bit.
You ruined the city of Santa Monica and its inhabitants.
It was hilarious.
They get it awful.
When I came the next day, because we had a day off in L.A. before we had to travel again. So the day when I got to there, they had written this big. I think it's. I think the picture's in the credits actually, where they had written "Santa Monica loves you." Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, right. This big. That was pretty cute. Those guys are the best. They're amazing.
You but, have points. They made you made sense.
But I lived. You know, yeah. When I was shooting stuff, and that's where my wife had an apartment there, and that's where we were for a long time. Like I mean, as I said,
I don't think that helps.
Listen, he says I hate LA many times. When he did it here, he may have said I dislike LA. Slight difference.
Yeah. All right, David, we always appreciate your time and coming in. David Cross, Oh Come On is the name of the special. It's out this Friday. Its special is going to simultaneously be released in a 10-city theatrical run. Mm. Here, it's going to be Galaxy Mission Grove in Riverside, and it shows for 1 week. And also on Friday, you can get it on iTunes and Amazon and Google Play and Xbox, and you can listen to the audio of it everywhere you listen to audio.
Yeah, it's so great, guys.
It's super funny, and we love it. And thank you for coming in.
Where's Riverside?
Running in. Riverside is that Valley of the Dirt People.
You know, whoa! Oh, my God. Well, Santa Monica and...
You guys know how sometimes words don't come to me?
Huh?
Yesterday I was saying we had Be Real today. He's coming up in about 10 minutes from... I could not for the life of me think of Cypress Hill.
Did everyone let you sit it out and try to come
no,
up with
no, because everyone that knows those rules were gone yesterday.
Well, I'm disappointed in them.
I couldn't think of Cypress Hill, which is probably one of my favorite bands of all time. Anyway, B-Real's coming up just after the top of the hour, and he's in some band. Allie is here. What's happening?
I wonder if one of his favorite movies is The Hangover.
Got it.
I hope no one understood the reference.
Jensen is so mad that you helped me, Kevin.
I know, but I only helped you after like a minute and a half because it was painful.
We have like 9-minute segments. You could have sat it out.
All right, you guys. You discussed this yesterday that for about 2 seconds in Sunday night's Game of Thrones, a takeout coffee cup appeared on a table in front of Daenerys Targaryen. Based on the size and shape, many fans assumed it was a Starbucks cup, and the hashtag Starkbucks trended on Twitter after the episode. Well, HBO made fun of themselves, and they said the latte that appeared in the episode was a mistake. Daenerys had ordered an herbal tea. So they were able to joke about it, but it appears that HBO has quietly removed the coffee cup from Game of Thrones. On HBO Go, you can no longer see it, as well as other streaming platforms.
I feel like that's a mistake, because...
Just leave it!
I think people would go look for it.
For sure.
Yeah, but I mean, I could understand how these filmmakers...
Move it a month from now.
Yeah, maybe. You know they just mean? Worked so hard on this
of
season.
Of course.
I'd be so mad that people are like, I gotta see the cup! Not the 55-day war scene we created.
Right.
I gotta see the one cup!
What if they did, like, have just the ratings on that one moment 17 minutes into the episode?
Like 40 million people have seen this cup.
People love the cup.
Most famous cup since Two Girls, One Cup.
I mean, you didn't have to with that and the going.
I want to smell it.
I don't think we do. You guys, lots of babies born yesterday. Prince Harry and Meghan Markle. They delivered their first child ever, just a little boy. We don't know the name yet. However, they have said that it's going to be a name that will unite both the UK and the US.
It's Juana Man.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
I mean, how is it even...
It doesn't make
sense. Is it a common name in both places? Like, I don't even understand that.
Meta World Peace?
Oh, wouldn't that be lovely?
Mm-hmm. The royal family is balls.
Like a lot of people were saying, oh, will the baby's name be Skip Intro? Because that would unite people, because we all love that when we see that come up. One of my favorites was a fellow named Josh Gondelman who tweeted, welcome to the world, young F-off Piers Morgan. Because that would unite the UK and the US.
I think we all feel the same way about Piers Morgan.
Absolutely. But what... Honestly, what name would unite the
two? I don't understand that. Unless they're talking about two names?
Right.
Oh, you mean like... I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Like an American name. Like,
yeah. Otherwise,
like Henry Abraham? Something
or, no,
like that?
I was thinking like Henry Shaquille or something. Like something that's clearly American.
Okay.
Henry Shaquille would be awesome.
Yeah, it's a good name.
That would be real nice. Well, and Amy Schumer gave birth to a baby boy on Sunday. She announced it via her Instagram yesterday. 10:55 p.m.
The royal family is born.
What?
She's not in. She's a comedian.
Yeah. Amy Schumer. Okay.
10:55 p.m. last night. Our royal baby was born. And they have yet to announce that baby's name
as well.
Juana Man again?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Like it's the most popular name in the nation right now.
A lot of people didn't know that.
No.
Because you just made it up.
No. It's true. I'm telling you guys first. You guys know. I do all the research.
Sure.
And you are going to name your baby what?
Juana Man.
Okay. Excellent. Glad we covered that.
I would applaud that for life.
Thank you.
Some birthdays for you guys. J Balvin, Breckenmeyer, and A.D. Bryant. And that's...
This is Bon Appetit Cook-Off, where seasoned chefs go head-to-head in a race to create the ultimate cannabis-infused cuisine.
And Be Real is with us right now. Want to Be Real?
How you doing? How you doing?
We're good.
Wow. Listen to the response.
Mm-hmm. Then they go quiet.
Kids are happy. Mm-hmm. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
This is a new Be Real. This is a Be Real with a star on the Walk of Fame. It's a different person.
Yeah, it's different.
You make people
call... No different.
No different. Okay. You make people call you that, though? You make them put that in your title, your official title?
Be Real with a star?
Mm-hmm.
The walking star.
I was watching just the video and stuff of it, and I just thought, these guys who I think deserve it seem so out of place there. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. It looked like you guys were all playing dress up. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it was one of those things where, you know, coming up, we didn't expect for anything like this, you know, to happen and for us to have a star on the Walk of Fame. So, It was surreal for us, but, you know, we were just sort of enjoying the time and we were, you know, sitting there talking to each other, you know, like, can you believe this is happening? I mean, I can't believe this is happening, you know. And then the fans that showed up there for us, I mean, it was really, it was quite an experience. But, I mean, it was awesome because it's something that you never expect.
I can't imagine anyone that's making music has the foresight to say, I hope that we're big enough and we're influential enough that I can get a star in the Walk of Fame. I don't think anyone thinks that way.
I think as you're coming up, you're just worried about working, keeping working and trying to live that dream as an entertainer of any sort, you know, whether you're an actor or a musician. I think that's the furthest thing from your mind. So when it comes, you know, it's quite a big surprise. I mean, you know, because who we are and what we represented
right.
throughout years of our existence, you know, it's just something that you would think that's a stretch to happen, you know. But fortunately, it happened for us, and we appreciate our fans who came out and supported it. It was awesome.
Well, you guys clean up real nice, too. I mean, Bobo, Sendog, all of you. I was like, look at these snazzy suits.
Did you guys have to buy the suits? Did all three of you have to go
always,
out?
Yes, I always buy my suits, man, you know. And I got to, you know, credit Wifey because she picked the color. I was like, I don't know. And, you know, she helped me out with that. So I can't take complete credit for that. But, you know, every now and then we'll get suited and booted and whatnot for special occasions.
So let's talk about the TV show Bon Appetit Cook-Off, which, I mean, is a show that's been built for you its entire run, but you just joined this season?
Yeah, I just joined this season, and it's been really cool. I mean, it changed up the format, you know. The first run of Bon Appetit, I believe the first two seasons, were more like a dinner party with infused meals, and this is more like a competitive style where we get, you know, three chefs that are experienced chefs. You know, some of them have experience in cooking with cannabis, some of them don't, and you know, it's great because it's competitive and entertaining, but it's also showing people outside that may be wondering, you know, how that's done or how you would do it or how you would infuse it or what dosages and stuff like this. This gives pretty good insight on how you do that.
Yeah, I would be a novice in this world, but I was wondering when I was watching it, like, has anyone done the show and then just been too stoned to move on? Like, they're bad TV?
Oh, my God. The first three episodes.
Like, these people have to be pros to hang with Be Real. I mean, it doesn't seem like, you know, and they're putting, most of them seem to be putting a amount of milligrams in. They don't know the numbers. You know it way better than they do.
Well, we try to give them, like, you know, a guide, like a direction, like, you know, don't overdose it. Well, not, I mean, there's really no such thing as overdosing it, but putting too much THC in the meal, yeah, definitely might put you in one of those days where you ain't doing anything for the rest of the day. So, you know, so with the chefs that have, you know, cooked with cannabis before, they pretty much know, like, the dosages that they should infuse, you know, in certain meals, or, you know, if you're doing a three-part meal, you know, not to over-infuse, you know, the each meal, so that it's a pleasant experience as opposed to overwhelming. And, you know, it happens more with the inexperienced chefs that really don't know. So they tend to get heavy-handed. And with them, we, you know, those are the ones we're pretty much illustrating to, hey, listen, don't overdo it with the infusions.
Make it enjoyable.
Take it slow. Because, you know, even though we might have tolerance, you know, that's you know, above your average person,
slightly.
You might be cooking. You might be cooking for someone who's never had an infused meal before, and you don't want to make the experience for them, you know, full
awful?
Of anxiety and paranoia and awful and whatnot. Yeah. So, you know, so they show you. So, you know, we tried to be the guide for that. And Miguel and Vanessa are very experienced in that field as well, because Miguel is a chef. And Vanessa has her own company where she does medicated chocolates and stuff like that. So, you know, they're very knowledgeable on how much should be infused. You know, some people like heavy infusion, but you have to know that going in.
Right.
You know, and for this, they're not supposed to be taking our head off, because we have guest judges who might not have that same tolerance, you know.
Yeah. Now, be real. As someone who has been, you know, talking about the pros of weed for decades, are you just sitting there shaking your head like, I am on a show called Bong Appetit now, when nobody would be thinking this years ago? And then just this past week, studies come out saying that smoking weed before you work out is a motivator. Like, did you ever think that these would be things that you've probably been saying forever? They're all finally getting their airtime.
Well, we all hoped that it would eventually be what it is now and turn into it, because we knew the possibilities and stuff like that. But to actually be in the moment and be in the show, like when we first started shooting it, you know, like we said, it existed before I came onto the show. But when I got on the show, it was very another surreal moment. Like, you know, like, I can't believe that we're doing a show based on cooking with cannabis. This is crazy, you know, because 20 years ago it was taboo.
Right.
You couldn't even mention cannabis in a song and get any sort of radio play or video play. And now, I mean, there's shows based on cannabis all over TV, you know, and you see it all over all the social media sites and all that stuff, you know, people promoting these particular shows or showing scenarios where they could maybe get one of those type of shows. And it's amazing to see the growth and people being open about it, even though they might not necessarily smoke or consume cannabis.
We did a 420 show, and I don't remember, maybe it was 10, 12 years ago. Be Real was our guest, and we had we were on Hermosa Beach, maybe. And he brought out a spliff that was, I don't know, the size of a bat, a baseball bat.
Excellent.
And there were police in the back of the room, and I was like, hey, what's going to happen? And nothing happens because he's Be Real.
Right.
Right? Yeah.
Well, listen, we learned from the show, and this guy has his own chyron. Like, you saw his title and his name. He has a joint rolling specialist for Be Real, correct? That guy just sits around and makes sure your joints are good.
Well, you know, that's the title they gave him on Bon Appetit. But, you know, that's my Be Real TV in-house photographer and content guy. And so he was there, like, you know, to take
to
photos
document.
And document stuff. But they put him in some scenes because he is a master joint roller. I mean, he comes from the Green Thumb University.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So, you know, we teach all our students to become master rollers.
That's nice.
So he's one of them. But, yeah, he's the joint specialist. Is that what they call him?
Yeah, something like joint rolling specialist. Yeah, joint technician.
Joint supervisor. It was joint supervisor, yeah.
Well, before we go, Be Real, I do want to ask you, earlier today, I think I coined weed salad dressing, and I want to know if that's something that's already in like, the marketplace.
I have not had any weed salad dressing, but I'll say this. In Bon Appetit, there was, I can't remember which contestant.
Well, that means it was good dressing.
The salad dressing. It was awesome. It was actually really good.
So
it,
you're
it
saying
brought that, the salad together.
So you're saying that they made it specifically for this show, but you've not heard of it outside as a marketed idea.
Well, yeah, there's no – I haven't seen that product out there
yet. That's all we need to talk about then. Thanks. Okay, that's it. No more.
It's all
don't
yours.
Don't need it out there anymore.
It's all yours,
run into the trademark guy. Yeah. Calm down, Jensen.
Don't need it anymore. Thanks. Okay, thanks for the advice.
Be real. We appreciate it.
Go get your Paul Newman on real quick.
Yeah. Bong Newman.
Bong Newman. There you go.
The TV show is Bon Appetit, a cook-off. It's on tonight, Tuesdays at 9 p.m. on Viceland, and Be Real is your host. Thank you for calling, B. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Okay, bye. Yeah. Do I have to play my own moment
Yes,
with?
Please play
my
it.
Own? Okay.
Please.
We had David Cross on earlier. Okay.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
You have a new special coming out this week called Oh Come On. I watched it last night and it's hilarious.
It's great.
I can't wait to see it.
Well, thank you. I watched it last night and I can't wait to see it.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
I mean, I'm not positive that's what I meant because I did watch it last
night.
Right.
That's not one of my
favorites. We should hear it again.
Yeah, so in case. Just get the detail. Yeah.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
You have a new special coming out this week called Oh Come On. I watched it last night and it's hilarious.
It's great.
I can't wait to see it.
Well, thank you. I watched it last night and I can't wait to see it.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Did you mean you can't wait for others
yes,
to watch it?
Yes, that's what I meant, of course.
Okay, mm-hmm. But you were just using it as we and I as a collective everyone.
Stop.
I don't
Stop
even
with the defense.
Let's listen to it again.
One more time, just in case. Yeah.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
You have a new special coming out this week called Oh Come On. I watched it last night and it's hilarious.
It's great.
I can't wait to see it.
Well, thank you. I watched it last night and I can't wait to see it.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Moments with are always much worse when you're saying it to somebody that's a guest in the studio. That...
On the phone, it's not as bad. Mm-hmm. With us, it's not as bad. But
when David Cross is sitting there looking at me like, what are you talking about? Yeah. That makes it a little worse.
Yeah.
I'm Hulk Hogan, by the way.
Better or worse than when you did it right to Matt Bellamy?
Oh, way worse for Matt Bellamy. Because I said a whole paragraph that he didn't understand.
Really?
Yes.
Gosh, I don't quite remember that one, but I remember it being pretty good.
It's time for What's Happening.
Is it? Yeah.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Do you guys have to sort of feel... do you feel the emotion when you wrote it later when you're playing it? And that was a poorly asked question. I'm gonna take that. Can I take that again?
That was A Moment with Kevin.
What happened there was Matt looked at Allie, and Allie looked at Matt, and Matt was like, what the?
You got to walk me through this, lady. I'm not tracking.
What's this guy talking about? Yeah, that was embarrassing because I love Muse. Sure. Yeah. All right. Allie is here with a final look at what's happening.
Well, what's happening is I come bearing gifts because you can be in the presence of greatness. It is K-Rock's Guys Night Out at the Bicycle Hotel and Casino. It is this Friday night. That's what? You and Dave and Beer Mug?
Yep. DJ Omar Khan. Good times. We all play poker.
Yeah.
And everybody can come. Guys, girls as well.
No, it says Guys
Night Out.
It's
poorly named. Uh-huh. Guys and girls are welcome.
Are you sure?
Friday night at 9. Yes, I'm sure.
All right.
And it's always a blast.
It is a blast. I can't imagine how fun it would be to sit at Beer Mug's table.
Going for the butt.
Because he says that a lot.
Sure.
But I'm going to give caller 21 a spot to play poker at Beer Mug's table for K-Rock's Guys Night Out at the Bicycle Hotel and Casino. Plus $200 in chips, you guys.
I mean, that's pretty good.
Yeah. Be caller 21 right now at 1-800-520-1067. And you are going to win a spot at his table. Poker and blackjack starts at 9 p.m. Guys, this is quite the deal, right?
I love Mugs because it starts at 9 p.m. Mm-hmm. and he shows up smashed.
Yeah,
he's been there
for hours.
Yes,
for sure.
So if you're sitting at his table, he will give you money.
1-800-5800-TOM.
Yeah, not the number at all. And you used to have a couple guys that would always sit at your table, and then you started trying to phase them out.
Yeah,
if you will.
I tried to bring in like anyone else to sit at my table, so they couldn't sit at my table. And destroy me, like they always do. And it worked.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, let us know when a seat opens. Like, sure. Okay.
Sure will.
Muggs just whispered in my headphones that he cleaned up last time.
Oh, okay. Really?
That's what he said.
Maybe he means he cleaned up the casino, like right. afterwards, when everyone left.
Because he sweeping it. So much money, yeah. They're like, just
he has
sweep
to work
for
it
us.
Off.
That would be amazing, you guys. I kind of love it. So Bruce Springsteen revealed in a chat with filmmaker Martin Scorsese on Sunday night that he has recently wrote an album's worth of material for the E Street Band, and he expects to lead the group's first tour since 2017. That's kind of incredible, right?
Yeah, that's crazy.
He said it took him about a month. No big deal. Just wrote a whole album's worth of material. By the way, this should not be confused with the Bruce Springsteen solo album, Western Stars, that's due out on June 14th. So, I mean, the guy for the last couple years has been spending his time on Broadway doing his one-man show.
Why?
Well, because it was something everyone wanted to see, and it kept getting extended because people kept buying tickets.
Why?
People love to hear him play and tell some stories.
Wow.
Yeah. But now...
He gave up pretty quickly
there. He did.
He's tired.
But now, talking about hitting the road for the first time since February 25th, 2017. That was his last tour with the E Street Band. That's crazy.
That is crazy.
Right?
Although it makes sense if he's been busy on Broadway the whole time.
Yeah.
Great album. Great album. Right. I didn't know who I was until I heard this album.
Understandable. It's not out yet. Yeah. I don't even know if he's recorded it.
Oh, I guess maybe he's heard something else.
Yeah, he could have. Kevin Hunter, that is Wendy Williams' ex-husband,
Robert,
is seeking spousal support and child support for the son he shares with Wendy Williams, Kevin Hunter Jr., even though that kid is turning 19 in August.
That's nonsense.
Kevin Hunter, you are a D-bag.
That is nonsense.
What are you doing?
Whatever, douche.
First of all, like Wendy Williams isn't going to, if he goes to college, she isn't going to pay for that on her own. I think she's solid. She's going to be paying for that.
I would assume that as well.
Spousal support and child support for a kid that turns 19 in August.
He
is the worst.
That's crazy. I can't imagine that any judge wouldn't just say, stop it. He's 19. What else you got?
Enough, D-bag.
I'm Hulk Hogan, by the way.
Right. Thank you, sir. E! Has canceled late-night talk show host Busy Tonight after just one season, you guys. Busy Tonight's last episode for E! Is going to air on Thursday, May 16th, but at that point, she will have done over 100 episodes.
So, wow.
How many did you see?
I didn't. But
you saw zero?
Yeah, how about you?
Drama queen.
I didn't feel that way about her. Saw one.
Saw one?
Okay.
I saw the first one.
All right.
So between the three of us, we've seen one.
All right.
Got to check that out.
No, it's over.
You have until May 16th. Okay. However, she does say on her Instagram stories that she is shopping the show around trying to find it a new home. So
she was murdered.
She was not.
Actually murdered.
No, very murdered.
No.
Very much alive.
She's alive. It's just the show.
Yeah, very much alive.
Why?
Well, because she continues to breathe.
Yeah.
Why?
Well, because she has a purpose in order, she can't just stop breathing. She has a child and a family.
Okay.
She's not going to stop herself.
All right.
Call me fabulous.
Oh, fabulous. This is a very interesting article about when your favorite character dies on TV, how it's pretty rough. And don't scoff at people's grief, you guys. Did you talk about this?
No.
It's
the way you're bringing it up, though, you sound already a little bit defensive.
This is insane to me.
Okay.
That they talked about a grief counselor named Alan Wolfett, who says it's important for a person mourning their favorite character to process their grief and for others to validate that process. Hmm. So if you're super sad about your favorite character on TV
dying, I'm going to mock you.
I am going to mock the hell out of you.
And but that's what we're supposed to do?
No, this grief counselor is saying, no, you need to really let them work it out. After you process it, then those two things are in place. You need time for productive reminiscing, which could include watching blooper reels of that favorite character, going back and watching the first episode of a new series.
How long are we supposed to put up with this nonsense?
The next step, you'll have to develop your identity without those characters in your life.
Oh, come on.
And here's the thing. anybody that says something like, oh, it's just a TV character, we aren't allowing them to grieve because we are minimizing something for someone. You can't say it's just a show. That's like saying it's just a pet. No, a pet is someone you have in your life that's real and in front of you and you're cuddling.
Technically, it is just a show.
It is just a
show. Just a show.
Yes.
But you guys aren't creating space for those people to be affirmed.
Some of us don't have friends.
This is the most insane thing I've ever read.
Yeah, it really is.
I was sad after 6 Feet Under went off the air, though. But I wasn't.
Not a character, right? It was the whole show.
I guess it's fine to spoil it now. But all the characters you watch die in the end.
Sure.
Oh, Jensen.
There is that.
If you haven't gotten around to 6 Feet Under yet, I think you have bigger problems.
Alert. Yeah. Someone's so mad right now.
Yeah, I think you have bigger problems.
But I just started it.
It did make me sad to watch that.
All right. Mm-hmm. Well, apologies to you.
Do we
have to
play along
with this? Did you go through the stages of grief? Yeah. Do you need us to validate you?
I think I'm still in stage one.
All right. So next you're going to get to reminiscing.
Yes, about how great the show was.
Okay.
Kevin, that's not nice.
We support you in your grief.
Thank you.
It's not just a TV show. It was a big part of your life.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Loser.
Some birthdays for you. Breckenmeyer, J Balvin, and A.D. Bryant, and that's what's happening.
Thanks, Allie. A 5 p.m. commercial free. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. Comedian Anthony Jeselnik joins us.
Yeah.
You were raised by a clown?
A literal clown.
And women with an alligator in their tights. What's up?
What?
So that's tomorrow's.
I mean, that's a tease if I've ever heard one.
It's tomorrow morning's Kevin and Bean.